And welcome to the Rock and Roll Survivors Podcast, dedicated to those in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, and somewhere in between. So let's get started.
So, Patty,
Mickey, did you never want to, you know, you're in Detroit. Dad worked for the car factory. Here you are going to go to Hollywood. How did you never get drawn into working for the car factories like every other person did? Did you never want to do that? Did you not even be attracted? You just played the piano? I mean, did you think
Patty,
about your future and what you were going to do?
Patty?
Yes.
I knew the destiny that I had in music from the time I was 7 years old.
Wow.
Okay. I never even thought about it. It was just like sitting in a chair, just like breathing. It was the most natural thing in the world. This is what you do. This is what you are made for. I remember somebody in the New York Times asked me, well, what's going to happen when you die, when you go to heaven and St. Pete's there at the gate? Why do you deserve the kingdom of heaven? I said, what did you do in your life? I said, I made music for the world that is lives forever. And he would say to me, okay, come on in. Come on in.
Be that easy. So I want to go back to your audition for Lawrence Welk.
Yeah.
Patty remembers that there were a bunch of kids auditioning and that you were like the third kid, and that Lawrence Welk said, stop everything. We have our pianist. Tell us how that came about.
Well, we were doing the, you know, the playing, and Lawrence said, would you just play something by yourself? And so I did. I think I played 12th Street Rag. And he said, oh, that's it. Now you guys can continue. But this is our guy.
Next, ladies and gentlemen, we have one of our boys again from our little band, Mike Quadro. Mike is from Detroit, I believe. Is that right, Mike?
From Grosse Pointe Woods, the suburb of Detroit.
Oh, how far is that from Detroit?
Oh, about 3 miles, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. That's a very nice community, I understand.
Yes, it's quite nice.
Well, it's nice that you left that for a little while to come out and play with us. And Mike has asked if he could play a tiny, a little tinkly piano. So you may take over, Mike.
I remember the Count Basie. The best introduction he ever did was Count Basie when I did MC Squared, which was number one on the hit parade in real time. And it was a song that required an incredible amount of parts. You had the bass line. Dun 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 dun, 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 dun. That was the upper hand. And then you had the bassy parts, ding, 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 ding. And then the horn parts, da, 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 da. And so Lauren said, Michael, you're going to play E equals MC squared. But you're, where's the band? Oh, you're going to play all the parts yourself, which I then did. It's a phenomenal number to watch. You can, you might be able to find that, Patty. It might be one of the videos, you know, that, that you can capture. E equals MC squared. So I, oh, when I do that number,
be looking for
that. Or people are agog when I do that number. It's like, you know, oh my God, he's playing five different parts at once.
Well, you did that a lot. Mickey, I wonder, did you ever have a tape made or did you play on Lawrence Welk that song? You know how you used to take a song and you would take it all the way around the world? Whoever thought to do that? I thought I was in Russia. I thought I was in some other you would change it as you were playing the song. Did you ever do anything like that on Lawrence Welk or have it recorded?
I did that before I got to Lawrence Welk. Yeah, I started doing improvisation. And when Around the World in 80 Days came out, and I heard it, and I wanted to play it, it occurred to me to do that Around the World thing. I did that first probably at the Country Club in Detroit around, I was probably about 10 by then. And that's when I first did the Around the World bit. Mother loved it. My dad would ask me to do it all the time when we were playing a concert.
Now we would like to bring you our piano man from the junior band, Mike Quadro. Mike has some very pretty music for us this evening titled Around the World.
Now you just reminded me of the Country Club in Detroit when I did all the debutante parties. Oh my God, that was a big thing. It's no longer a big thing. Debutante parties, they don't even have them anymore. And the head lady from the debutante party was Mrs. Mary. And eventually, of course, Dad would book me on a debutante party with my own band. I wouldn't play with him. I had my own band. You know, and I would do that. And the normal thing for those debutante parties was, where's the debutante? Well, she's out in the bushes with Quattro.
Oh, my God.
I never missed doing a debutante. I remember the funniest one was Mrs. Fisher, the heirs to the Fisher body fortune, and her daughter, Judy Fisher. Oh, was she a beauty. Wow. Anyway, I was starting to date her after the debutante party. And I get a call from her mom. Said, you can't date my daughter. You're the musician. I said to her mom, boy, you want some too?
Oh, Mickey!
Why not?
Speaking of dating, you dropped a little bombshell there. Patty and I thought, or Patty thought, that you had dated, so on Lawrence Welk, the Lennon sisters were as pleased to the world.
The second and third. Yeah, the second and third.
Wait. I mean, just to remind our listeners, Lawrence Welk, for those who don't remember or didn't see it, was a very straight-laced show, and the Lennon sisters were as straight-laced and
oh, were they ever.
As the driven snow. And so, Patty, you remember that your brother dated one Lennon sister. But Mike, you dated two. Tell us.
Well, it was the second and third. I don't even remember the names anymore of the girls.
Kathy was one. The middle two.
Yeah. Kathy.
It wouldn't
was
have
one.
Been Janet. She was too young, and the older one was married, I think. So it had to be one of the middle two or both, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I took him to the. I took him to Disney. Both of them to the Tunnel of Love. You know.
At the same time or separately?
No. I dated them separately. I got in trouble on about the third month. I was in the dressing room, and I was pretending to be Lawrence doing an introduction, and he walked in.
What did he do?
He just acted surprised, and I shut up.
Can you still do the imitation? I'd love to hear it.
Oh gosh. Welcome, folks. And now we're going to play Mikey Quattro is going to do blah blah, yeah, something like that. God, it's been what? You're talking 1958.
And he always started his songs, the one and the two, right?
1958. I remember everything else like a brick.
Well, one of the things that Patty and I talked about, because I grew up in Hollywood, so I had a bunch of logistical questions for you. And Patty remembers that you moved in with your sister Arlene, who was kind of chaperoning you, to your aunt and uncle's house in La Cañada. But Mike, you said that was not the case, that you, when you came out here, you moved in with a woman, a matron woman who ran a home in Santa Monica.
I had a guardian. I had to have a guardian. And I was 15, and the Lawrence Welk people, Ted Richards was the boss, the general manager of all the Lawrence Welk stuff and the TV show. And Ted Richards had a guardian, and it was a lady that was about 50, and she owned a house in Santa Monica right off Sunset Boulevard, and it housed UCLA students. She had about five bedrooms, and I had a bedroom. And so she treated me, I'm 15, but she treated me like I was a UCLA student. You know, I brought girls in there once a day. She didn't give a shit. She just treated me fine. Oh, God.
And tell us, I had asked you this privately, but you made money, obviously, playing on the Lawrence Welk show. And
The money went into a trust fund, and dad watched it, and I sent money out of the trust fund to build a swimming pool in the house in Bloomfield Hills.
Oh, did you know that, Patty?
No,
she didn't.
The house in Bloomfield Hills.
When mother and dad moved into the house, there was no swimming pool.
One thing really quickly, and then, because I just want to harp on this, and I apologize, but I find this fascinating. You said that you were making money, of course, on Welk, and that it went into a trust. Do you remember what you were making on a weekly basis? And can you tell us your schedule of being on the show every week?
I think I was getting about $2,500 a show, which in today's dollars is a whole lot of money.
Well, in back then, just to give this some context, a friend of mine who is our audio engineer for the podcast, Byron, was telling me that in the year that when you were on Welk at the age of 15 or ages 15 to 17, putting away $2,500 a week, his father in that same time frame made $2,000 a year and was able to support his family without the mother working.
Yeah, that's the price of cash. How cash is, you know, a dollar buys a nickel's worth.
But it's just incredible that you're a kid and making this kind of money.
It didn't bother me. It just seemed like, it didn't even seem like a lot of money to me. It just seemed like, well, this is the natural order of things.
Wow.
My average through my entire 81 years has always been when you average the big ones and the small ones. You know, I did $500,000 in my career on any one given year, five different times. And then, you know, like you'd sign a big deal when I got to making records at the big companies, you'd sign a deal for, you know, a couple $100,000 and and then the next year you might not have any sales and you'd make $10,000, you know. It was like ridiculous. The varieties of money between big and small, big and small, big and small. Hell, Frank Sinatra went bankrupt 3 times. I've been bankrupt 3 times.
Well, and if you've had
people don't know that.
If you've had this vision of yourself since the age of 7 of knowing you were going into music and this was your destiny, the money would just ebb and flow. That was not necessarily a criteria for you.
No, money has never been an issue with me. I always made plenty. You know, average plenty. And because I was a celebrity, I got treated free to all the amenities that rich people do. All of them. You know, I'd go here on vacation, I'd go on a boat, I'd go here, I'd get flown there. So all the amenities of a person making $500,000, you had them all. You had everything. There was nothing you lacked.